It's another Saturday in CCO land when we talk wine and other things with our wine chat friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Happy New Year to you, Jack, and all the folks at Haskell's.
Happy New Year to you, Denny. Great year to start out afresh.
Yes, it is, and it's going to be kind of a moderate week weather-wise.
Yes,
so that's good.
Be delightful. Go snowshoeing, cross-country skiing.
Yes, perfect.
Etc. Ice skating. I notice, Galway. When did we develop this undesirable, in my opinion, wish to jump in the lakes on the first year? I know we always did that a little bit out on Lake Minnetonka, but I thought they were even doing it on Lake of the Isles.
No, not for me, brother.
Amen.
Me.
Amen. That's chilly.
Yes. Well, what are we?
Lake of the Isles.
No, not for me, brother.
Amen. Amen. That's chilly.
Yes. Well, what are we talking about this morning, Jack?
Today I thought we'd talk a little bit about, you know, people are home by themselves. There's something interesting to do. Try some new wines. You know, there's a movement about called ABC, which is anything but Chardonnay for white wines. Now, Chardonnay is a really marvelous grape type. It's the principal grape type of Burgundy, whence it comes from. And all over the world they grow Chardonnay, and it really is the queen of white wines. There's no question about that. Whether you get one that's un-oaked and bone dry like Chablis, or you have something very buttery and rich, Chardonnay is a wonderful wine, and it accounts for over half of the wine sold in the United States, dry table wines. But let's talk about some of the other white wines that you can try. And the first one that comes to mind, to me anyway, is Riesling. Riesling is one of the great, great white wines of the entire world. And I've been in this business a long time, and I'll never, ever really understand why Riesling fell out of favor the way it did. You know, up until 30 years ago or so, we sold as much Riesling as we sold other wines together. I mean, people couldn't get enough of Riesling, your favorite Liebfrau Milk, or Mosel Blumchen, or May wine, etc. We're all wines people just love to have. And about the same time that White Zinfandel became popular, so you know it's a long time ago, people shied away from Riesling. And it's kind of a shame, because frankly, if you have a smoked pork chop and you grill it, or you bake it in the oven, I'll tell you, there's not a better wine in the world to go with that than Riesling. And the same thing is true if you say you have some smoked trout. And we do that every year. We catch a lot of trout, and we generally smoke quite a few of them. That smoked trout served with a little horseradish as a first course with a glass of Riesling is just unbelievable pairing. It's perfect. I think one of the problems is Riesling is always semi-dry. It's very, very seldomly bone dry. And, you know, the great part of Riesling, of course, is the area it originated in the Mosel and Rhine Valley in Germany. You have very steep vineyards. It's picturesque as can be as you go down the Mosel River or you go down the Rhine River there, but it's very hard to grow. Some of those hillsides are just as steep as the side of a building. In fact, a lot of them, the vineyards are tended to by people that go up and down in pulleys and cables to get to the vines. And those steep vineyards, as I said, are very picturesque. In fact, some of the Finger Lake District in upstate New York, which produces a lot of Riesling, is compared to that. And, you know, the history of Riesling is very noble. The Romans spread wine culture throughout Europe as they marched through, and the names are reflected in some of the German towns. Trier was a German port, and they grew the Romans grew wines there because they needed them for their daily consumption. So it has a very, very noble history, and they spread that wine culture all over. Hattenheim, Schloss Wollrod, Schloss Johannesburg are castles. And then there's monasteries. Unbelievable how much of that German wine was shipped all over Europe in the Middle Ages. It was the most popular wine. And then, as I said, in our country, we used to sell 12, 14 container loads of German wine every year. And, you know, nowadays we're lucky if we sell a half of one. I mean, it just peaked out. And I, like I said, it's one of the great mysteries. I don't understand it because Riesling is so incredible. And, you know, I think one of the problems is Riesling has a tendency to be sweet, and people avoid that. You know, the basic categories of German wine, the classifications are Cabernet, which is generally the driest. And then you have Spätlese, Auslese, Bierenauslese, Trockenbierenauslese. And, you know, when you get up to Trockenbierenauslese, that's individual berries. They're picked when they're like raisins. And they're very sweet, and they rival great wines like Chateau Yquem. But a Trockenbierenauslese is a wonderful experience. It's a very complex wine. And then they even make in Germany something called ice wine, which they let the berries freeze. And all that freezes inside the berries is the water. And so they try and crush those berries without crushing the ice. And they get this very almost syrupy thing for ice wine that they begin to ferment. And it's a delicious sweet wine, which is one of the greatest and most interesting wines in the world to try, in my opinion, ice wine. They grow a lot of that up in Canada from the Riesling, too, which is also interesting. And, you know, the German wine-producing area is the northernmost wine-producing area in the entire world. And the reason that they can even produce wine there is the rivers, the Rhine and the Mosel and the Saar, act as sort of heating and air conditioning. In the summer, they keep it kind of cool. In the winter, they keep it kind of warm. And thus, you can have those steep vineyards and produce that wine. But an interesting thing would be to try a German Riesling. As I said, try it with smoked trout, or more easily, try it with a smoked pork chop. I think you'll find it delicious. Dr. Tanish makes a straight Riesling, which I happen to think very highly of, and it's very, very good. The other wine I'd be terribly remiss in not mentioning is Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc gets its origins in the Loire Valley and in Bordeaux. And in Bordeaux, all white Bordeaux are Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon blended. And it depends on the property what the proportions are. But those are the two grape types, Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc. And, of course, in the French say it was a wild grape and it has its origins in France. And actually, when they did the DNA on Sauvignon Blanc, its closest relative is Cabernet Sauvignon. So it's an interesting background. In France, they produce something in the Loire Valley called Sancerre, and that's the wine I call Sauvignon Blanc with a college education. It is really superb. If you've never had a Sancerre, this is a good time to go ahead and try one. They're really absolutely delicious. If you like Sauvignon Blanc, you're going to love Sancerre. It's really a remarkable wine. And like I said, one of the wines that are overlooked, in my opinion, are white Bordeaux. They are really absolutely incredible. If you get a good Grave or a Pessac, which is sort of the same as Grave these days, it's really remarkable. I think that a white Bordeaux, something like Grave Lacoste, just cries for lobster. If you're having lobster or shellfish, you can't do much better than a white Bordeaux with that. It really is terrific. And, of course, the Sauvignon Blanc has been spread all over the world, South Africa, Chile. You name a country, and they're producing Sauvignon Blanc. However, the New Zealanders have really mastered the art. And about 80% of New Zealand exports are Sauvignon Blanc. And it's adaptable, and it's likable. A lot of people claim that the Australian Sauvignon Blanc and New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc have kind of a green pepper taste to them. And I wouldn't doubt that, but they certainly are interesting and worth trying. And then, of course, we have the Italian whites to try. Pinot Grigio, Trentino. Pinot Grigio grows all over Italy, even in Sicily. And they make wonderful Pinot Grigio. It can be fruity. It can be dry. It's very interesting, not to mention Vermentino, Soave, Verdicchio, Asti, and the various, the Sardinian wine, Liguri, are all white wines that are very interesting and worth taking a little time to try. One that I'd be very remiss, and I should have talked about it when we talked about Bordeaux is Chateau Yquem. Yquem is, in my opinion, the most complex white wine in the entire world. I was fortunate enough, on New Year's Eve, a friend brought a half bottle over, and we tried it after dinner. And boy, I'll tell you, it never changes. It's so complex and so extraordinary. You know, while the average vineyard gets a full bottle of wine out of every grapevine, at Yquem, they barely get one glass. It's harvested, like I said, with the Trockenbier Nauschlee, when the berries look like raisins, and they give up very little of that precious juice. And then they make this wonderful sweet wine. It's expensive, but I guarantee you it's worth it. Chateau Yquem should be on everybody's list to try once in their life. And if you can't try Chateau Yquem, because it is very expensive, try a Sauternes, because you can get those very inexpensively. And they're worth trying because they're sweet, they're delicious, they go perfectly with so many things. They go perfectly just by themselves. I like to drink a Sauternes with a dried apricot. The marriage was made in heaven. It's really terrific. But anyway, I think you get the idea. There's so many different wines. For example, from Austria, Guntner Veltner. That's the only wine I've ever found in my life that goes with asparagus or Brussels sprouts. And then, of course, there's Vino Verde from Portugal, which, in my opinion, is a real summer wine. It leaves a pearl or a spritz on your tongue. Terrific. Chenin Blanc from the Loire, South Africa. Another great one. We recommend Vouvray, which is 100% Chenin Blanc, to have with turkey because it goes so well. Then you have the whites of the Rhone Valley, Viognier, Marsanne, Roussanne, are all wonderful types in Alsace, Gewürztraminer, Spain, Albarino, Argentina, Torrentes. And how about Prosecco? It's made from Galera grape. It's the only grape in my history in the wine business. They changed the name. It is now called the Prosecco grape. And the Prosecco grape, much like Primitivo is to Zinfandel, it comes from Slovenia. But anyhow, I think you get the idea. Some of these white wines are really worth trying. And when we have a little time on our hands, like we do right now, why not try some of these new white wines and broaden your horizons when it comes to wine? You can always go back to Chardonnay. It is a wonderful, wonderful grape type, as I started out by saying, and is one of my favorite of all times. But these others are not to be neglected or ignored either. Whether it's Sauvignon Blanc or it's Riesling or Pinot Grigio, try something new, or maybe perhaps try a Moscato. Those are a little sweet and very, very good with dessert. And, as I said earlier, those Viognier is one of my favorite white grape types. It's from the Rhone Valley, and there are a couple of good ones. LaForge makes a Viognier that, is not to be missed. It's about $12 or $13 a bottle, but it is absolutely terrific. And you could try that with something like oysters. That Viognier of LaForge with oysters is a marriage made in heaven, Denny.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And, you know, I'm thinking now is really a good time to get to Haskell's because the sale is in effect and you can start sampling a whole lot of things. Another adventure every day.
Adventure? You know, I have a friend who wrote a book once, Hand Me That Corkscrew. And the book is just wonderful because the greatest passport in the world for wine is a corkscrew. And there's no subject, no matter how much you read, the better way to learn about wine than to pull the cork and taste the wine. And it's what you like. And believe me, the folks at Haskell's can help you pick what you like. And they'll pick on something that's very good. Our sale goes all the way to January 17th, and there we've loads of wines on sale, and it's a good time to stock your cellar. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine in Bloomington, Excelsior. There's Haskell's in Faribault off of 35. Our super cellar in Maple Grove is not to be missed. In downtown Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And, of course, if you can't come in, do call Haskell's. We follow all the protocols. You can call and have it picked up in front. Or don't forget, Haskell's does deliver, and we'll bring it right to your very own front door.
Absolutely.
And incidentally, I'd like to wish everybody a very happy New Year.
And to you and yours, Jack, thank you so much. Let's talk next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
Thanks. Have a good week, Jack. Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Widespread dense freezing fog is what's going on here in the Twin Cities and surrounding area. We're going to get up to 27 today, near 29 tomorrow, maybe 37 on Monday. Right now, southwest winds are at 5, 2.8, 88 the humidity. And with some fog and mist reported, temperature reading in the Twin Cities, 11.